sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 139. Episode 139. Cause she don't live here. I'm doing drugs trying to feel you. I'm killing me trying to kill you. I built my whole life around you. I thought I found it all when I found her. Shopping spree on whatever coast. How'd you really feel? I may never know. As I ride through these streets with my hands on my heat, eyes red from the sweets, I realize some things never change. Once in love and it's gone, you don't look at it the same, man. Fuck love, cause she don't live here.
Message.
I'm soaked in blood, but I'm still here. Hey, welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. All right, okay. Hey, before I start the show, let me clear a few things out the way. Okay, all right. Hey, I want to inform you new listeners, especially those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake. This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Hoosier Bleus up in this bitch. Check it out. I represent and hold it down for black folks who stand out and grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City of Much Music. Today's date is January 14, 2024, and this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. One last thing about this episode. This episode is brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. There was a lot of intensity in that. Fuck you too, wasn't it? Eh? All right, okay. Hey, let's go. I got to rush this episode. I'm not rushing this episode. You can't tell, but I'm recording at an earlier time and than usual on the Sabbath day. That's because I got to prepare for an interview, a job interview. It's kind of weird. I got to record myself and... all I know is I needed to get this podcast out the way or else I'd be stressed out trying to figure out how to do this shit. And here's hoping next episode I tell you about how well the recording went. And a following episode I tell you hopefully some good news about the interview. But until then, I'm dealing with the now. And now I'm recording this podcast. All right. Check it out for you new listeners. Something I like to do is just to help you... get situated. When I record my podcast, I like to break it down into three categories, into three sections, or three acts, if you will, like in a play, acts. The first act is the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now. The second act is news and random thoughts. And the last act is final thoughts. Now, for this week's final thought, I got to warn you, there's going to be a spoiler about Succession. I mean, the show is over, you know, it's four seasons, been over. But I'm going to talk about Succession, And I'm just giving you a heads up. There's going to be a spoiler in there. All right? You've been warned. Don't send me any angry emails saying about, what the fuck? Nigga, I was just in the middle of binging the show and you fucked it up for me. But yeah. All right. Again, speaking to new listeners. So in the introduction, I like to do shit like I already did. Is I played the anthem of the show. Let me know if you want to hear the lyrics. If you want to read the lyrics to it, I'm assuming you could hear it. But if not, let me know. Yeah, play the anthem. Then I say the title of the episode 139 because she don't live here, and recite some poetry relating to the title. And last but not least, yeah, and then welcome you listeners, and try to give you a heads up on the kind of podcast you're listening to. You know, the more I think about it, man, I wonder if it's inaccurate enough. But that's another story. I'll figure that out. Another thing I like to do in the introduction is read out a quote just to get stuff started or just to have something to say. And today's quote is from an account on Instagram called Introverts Are Awesome. And it goes, "You can't hurt an overthinker. They already seen it coming. You're just proving them right." Yeah, as an overthinker, I like to imagine a future, but I like to imagine the future and usually focus on the worst possible future. Yeah, I mean, it's negative, but it is what it is. But no, it's true what they say. If your intention is to be hurtful or ill intentions, we kind of saw it coming. And then we spend the rest of our days regretting that we let our guards down. Yeah. Now, it's interesting. I'm thinking about everyone who are familiar with that tactic, and what they try to do is talk you out of overthinking. No. I promise you, the outcome is going to be a lot different. Anyways, yeah. It is what it is, man. I don't make any apologies for being an overthinker. All right, dates-wise, you know, usually I also do a bit of history, but, you know, I haven't done my homework. I usually rely on my timeline to tell me about rapper's birthday or movie album release, but that hasn't showed up on my timeline. I mean, I don't know if it's because I haven't been on Twitter as often or, but one date worth mentioning, and I'm going to confirm it just to make sure that I have the right date, is, yes, January 15, 1929, the birth of our savior, Martin Luther King Jr. I'm trying to piss off Christian by saying that. Yes, I know today is January 14th, but this episode will be out and available on his birthday. Actually, I'll be available today, but my point is you're likely going to see it in your podcatcher on Martin Luther King's birthday. And I also believe it's a holiday in the United States. Will be a holiday tomorrow. So lucky them. Excuse me. We don't have holidays for Martin Luther King in Canada, all over Canada. But they might do something corny like acknowledge his birthday by, you know, white people doing white people shit and interpreting Martin Luther King's legacy and talk about how they don't see race and might have a... offer some subscription to black.com. I don't know. They usually do something corny on Martin Luther King's birthday. Yeah. Anyway, but in Canada. So, yeah, that's the only date I'm acknowledging in the introduction. So, I've wasted enough time. This is enough warm-up, don't you think? Yeah, I agree with it. All right, so let's just jump to using random thoughts and get the show going. All right? Okay, let's go. Yeah, keep it smooth, B. Keep it smooth. All right. Yo, okay. So usually I start with news and then go into thoughts, but this time I'm going to flip it over and start with thoughts, random thoughts, because I got more news. I just got, yeah, two thoughts. First one is, while getting a phone call from my parents, I realized that I have a fragile... And it's not just my parents. There's certain people when they call me, I'm mindful that I have a fragile inner peace. Like in my, the that, you know, that exactly it. This is what happens when you were raised or grew up or never understanding the concept of boundaries. So I just realized that while that phone was ringing, I just realized inside of me there was this fear that, man, of my inner peace is about to be disturbed. There's certain people, when I see their names, when I'm about to interact with them, there's a part of my brain that's like, your inner peace is about to be disturbed. Guard your grill. And I, yeah. And here's the thing is, I value inner peace so much to the point that if I'm talking to someone and they put me in a position where, look, like I can easily be manipulated by it. All this to say, it's a long way to say that how I can, things like guilt. Yeah, things like guilt is an easy way for me to get manipulated. Which is why, yeah, man. Anyways, yeah, if I find myself keeping people at arm's length, it's because, or another better way to say it, in order for me to get along with you, during our interaction, there cannot be any disturbance to my inner peace. Like, I gotta be at ease with myself. If I find myself constantly protecting it, protecting my inner peace or putting out a fire or whatever, that's my sign that you are not a good person, or you're one of those people, not a good person. It's not that you're not a good person, but you're not a good person for me to be around with. Again, I'm only realizing this, that this is more a result of, this is what happens when you don't teach your child or you weren't raised with a concept of setting boundaries. Because when you let those boundaries down, then one of the things people will do is, if someone puts up a boundary, that's their way of protecting their inner peace. Right. I'm explaining this, even though it makes sense, but I keep picturing explaining this to someone who won't understand what I'm trying to say. When, and here's the thing. There are people who can't or will refuse to try to understand what I'm trying to say. And all I'm saying is, if you are, if I go back, there's a book out there called How to Make Friends and Influence People. Yeah, at first it might sound like it's a book about manipulating people. No, it's about meeting people at where they're at. And really, all I'm just explaining, if you're someone who's genuine about getting along with other people, if you find some folks put up a guard around you and you feel like you haven't given them any reason to do so, you might want to question the possibility that you might be doing something that's causing them to fear that, yo, you might violate my inner peace. You might do something to fuck with the peace that I'm trying to establish for myself. I don't know. Like, okay, when I meet someone, I'm thinking for myself, like if I flip it over, I don't think about that kind of stuff. For the most part, I can get along with, I was going to say all people, not most people, for the most part, right? I don't ask for much. I try to keep people at ease. I don't do anything to make someone consider me a threat. How about that? And part of it too. Now, if I did meet someone who was like me and their alerts just went on and something's wrong with this guy, I would let them be. Yeah, you just gotta accept that. You know what? Okay. The best I can think of, compare it to is, a friend of mine was telling me how, when it comes to his child, he doesn't do the same thing his parents did. When he goes to the barbershop with his child, and if his child doesn't want to shake hands with you or doesn't want to give you a hug or doesn't, like when he introduces his child to you and his child like walks away, he lets that child be. He doesn't force his child to be like, hey, be polite. give auntie blah 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 a hug or whatever. No. He allows his child, yo, trust your instincts. And he takes it as a sign that, okay, what the fuck's wrong with you for my child to not want to be around you? But I don't know if he gets suspicious, but one thing's for sure is he allows his child to trust their instincts about adults. While I'm from the generation where we didn't have that, we didn't have that privilege. Yeah, if your parents wanted you to meet someone, you better meet them, you better be polite, you better give them a hug, better give them a kiss. Even if they freaked the fuck out of, they freaked you the fuck out. And it has happened, because again, I grew up in a church environment, and in the church field, there's a lot of like, cuckoo, at least the ones that I've been in, there's a lot of like, cuckoo, people who you'd be right to question their mental stability. And you were forced to, even though you saw that, you were forced to pretend to like, hey, smile in front of them, even though you can sense that something's wrong with this person. And I think this is what happened. After doing too much of that, now my mind is like, has gone completely to one side of the, what do you call that? Has gone to great extremes. Now I go to great extremes to avoid people who might push my buttons. There you go. That's what I'm trying to say. Or make me feel unsafe. Not physically unsafe, but like peace of mind, safety. Anyway, it's just a realization that I had that, I didn't realize I was going to... It also reminds me of a saying that goes, are you healed or have you just figured out how to avoid people who pull your triggers, or you're just avoiding your triggers. But that's another story. That's another conversation. You know, it's okay. One last point is finding people who you don't have to put an effort. Finding people who respect your boundaries is a new concept for me. Is a new thing. It's like it's a new thing for me. And the people who do that, to me, end up being the most amazing human beings. Like, people who don't have a need to, or you don't have to put any effort into, hey, this is my bro. No, okay, that's it. That's all. Whatever. But it is what it is. Yeah, it is. You know, we're a product of our upbringing. And I'm just being introspective about this shit. Anyways, if it makes sense to you, holler at me. If it don't make sense to me, yeah, keep it moving. Yeah, I'm not. It's one of those things that it's either you either get it or you don't get it. At least in my experience. Yeah. Last but not least, and for thought is, I was at the grocery store, and that reminds me. I need to see the expiry date on that chicken. And I spent a shitload of money on chicken that I needed to make. Yeah, I decided I wanted to make chicken taco, and of course, what you need in chicken tacos is chicken, and so I had to get boneless chicken, and that motherfucker was expensive. But because I'm doing a recipe, I just ate it. You know, usually the smart thing to do, or I've been taught to, is look for deals and shit like that. But I was in a need. I needed the ingredient. I wasn't trying to drive all over Ottawa to find cheap chicken, so I just bought it. But it had me thinking about, fuck, how accepting we've been as consumers to the rise in price, to inflation, to price rising, and these grocery store making record profits. Like, how far are we from, like, I left that grocery store feeling like, yo, someone's dick was up in my ass. And I mean, thinking, how far are we from retailers being like, hey, look, you don't have enough to pay for these groceries, but I tell you what, suck this dick, and you can have it all. You know what I mean? I tell you what, I'll even let you add bubblegum, but you got to suck this dick and make it look like you, and make me feel like you love me. Like, how far are we from, okay, I'm just saying, as we keep accepting slippery slope, is that what you call it? As we continue to accept that, okay, price of groceries are just going high, we just need to accept it. As we keep accepting this shit, how far are we from, okay, look, I'll tell you what, money's not going to be enough. But your daughter's cute. She got a fat ass. I tell you what, she sucks my dick. And you can get these groceries for free and here, bubble gum for the kids. How far are we from? Come on, honey. Come on, man. It's Christmas. We got to eat. Come on. You know I need these cookies. I'm just saying, man. Look, call me paranoid or whatever. But I'm saying these fucking grocery prices are getting ridiculous. Yo, it's so fucked up. I remember walking out of the grocery store. Wasn't even thinking about it because I just tap and just keep it moving. I suck at finance. Whatever. Just tap and heading to my car. And this brother was coming out of this car going into the grocery store. And sparks a conversation with me. Yo, how much did it hurt, man? And he was talking about how expensive were your grocery price. We just had a conversation about the price of groceries. But we let it go. We just let it happen. What can we do? We can't boycott these motherfuckers, right? Because we got to eat. Like, how far are we from, am I from leaving the grocery store and homie says, so how big was that dick they put in your ass? Oh, man, yo. I mean, I don't want to talk about it, but goddamn. I really wish that nigga hadn't taken Viagra. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Look, man. Look. Hey, needless to say, you need to be very fucking confident as a male. If you're a male listening to me, yeah, I expect you to be fucking confident in your sexuality as I talk about getting a dick up in your ass. I'm just saying, excuse me, getting a non-consensual dick up in your ass. Groceries are fucking high, guys. That's all I'm getting at, man. I'm just saying. Makes me want to holler. All right. Okay. All right. Let's go. It's funny. This was another episode I didn't think I would have anything to talk about. And something happened. Watch your TV and then boom. Now I have an episode. But let's go. Again, B, you got an interview to get ready for. Okay. All right. Another reason why I'm recording early is because I'm starting to feel like news after news keeps coming in and I'm adding shit to the news and random thought list. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just put this episode out. And then in the next batch of news that comes, I'll save it for the next episode. So, and on that list of news that just came in, this is brand spanking fresh off the press. And it's like, Yasin Bey explains why Drake isn't hip hop. Wow. Relates his music to shopping at Target. Okay, yeah, I wasn't going to talk about it, but I tell you what, I'm gonna play this article and instead of the TikTok clip, and then take it from there. But needless to say, the links to this article will be in the show notes. Like I said, these and it will be in the respective act within. Like my show notes are broken into the three categories of this. The three acts of the show, and yeah, you'll find it, man. The title of the article is what I just read, and here we go. You know what? I'm just gonna read it myself because it's a short article. It goes, all right, okay. Yasin Bey, formerly Mos Def, his mama call him Mos Def. I'ma call him Mos Def. All right, yeah, Yasin Bey, formerly Mos Def, has racked up years of credibility in rap since launching his career in 1994. I do not disagree. On a new episode of the Fashion Podcast, it's a fashion podcast called The Cutting Room Floor. He was asked if he considered Drake to be hip-hop, a question that clearly stressed him out. Why are you doing this to me? He began his answer saying, he continued, Drake is pop to me. I'm not mad at that. In a sense, like, if I was in Target in Houston and I heard a Drake song, it feels like a lot of his music is compatible with shopping or shopping with an edge in a certain instance. It's likable. Yeah. I didn't say anything wrong. What happens when this thing collapses, he added? What happens when the columns start buckling? Are we not in some early stage of that at this present hour? Are we seeing the collapse of an empire? Buying and selling where the message that I can use? What's in it for your audience apart from banging the pom-poms? watch the clip. Okay. Fuck it, man. I'm going to play the clip. Because I did see it, but now I feel like we're hearing the whole thing. Okay, here we go. Okay, we're going to share this. Oh, right. I forgot that it takes a while to load on this computer, but bear with me. I anticipate you being a patient audience. I need you to be This ain't it. Okay, let's try it again. Let's try this again. Oh, watch down. No wonder. Okay. How's your day going? Okay, here we go. No, I don't want to log in. Get off my face! All right, bear with me. Here we go. Here we go.
Like, is Drake hip hop?
Why are you doing this to me? Drake is pop to me. In the sense, like, if I was in Target in Houston and I heard a Drake song, it feels like a lot of his music is compatible with shopping.
I think he's calling him a commercial artist.
Commercial music.
Or it's shopping with an edge in certain instances.
Fair. I like Drake's music, but I understand exactly what you're saying.
Of course. I mean,
it's commercial, entertaining, fun, good, it's formulaic music.
It's likable.
Likable music, yeah.
It's likable.
But is it... You know, I'm going to leave you alone. We're going to move.
Woo! So many products.
So many SKUs.
So many SKUs. Look at all these SKUs. Oh, so many products.
So much merchandising. So many barcodes.
I love this mall. Look at this place. I mean, look at this place. They have everything. Everything's here. They have everything here. Oh, this is great. This is a new Drake. You hear it? It's great. Okay. What happens when this thing collapses? What happens when the columns start buckling? Are we not in some early stage of that at this present hour? Are we seeing like the collapse of empire? Buying and selling, where's the message that I can use?
Right.
You know, what's in it for your audience apart from like banging the pom-poms?
Okay, bro, are you dissing him? Okay, see, I kind of need him to be like clear. Fuck him, I don't respect that nigga or something like that. Or just saying, yes, he makes music I can dance to, but I don't respect him as, or some shit like that. No, okay. First, I got to say, I'm in a difficult situation. I got to remind myself this is my goddamn podcast, and I'm not trying to tell you what you want to hear. But I am, these are my thoughts. The first one is Yasin Bey has, as a hip hop artist, has built up that credibility to be like, okay, Scarface might have a track that you'll listen to. No, I don't know. He doesn't have a track you'll listen to Target, but Scarface does have deep tracks like the one that I just recited at the beginning of this episode to tie it into a point I'm going to make in final thoughts. Like, I guess I'm saying rap music with substance in there or well-written rap lyrics the same way a scene like The Wire was well-written. Succession was well-written. That kind of like rap music that inspires me to think, to process thoughts, to put myself in the shoes of this artist or to relate to them. Drake doesn't have any music like that. He doesn't. But here's the thing. I think, homie, I want to believe that Drake picked his lane. That's what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to make hit records. I'm trying to be at billboards. I'm trying to get the respect of radio. I want Hot 89, these commercial radios to play my shit while being considered respected by the hoods, the quote-unquote hood. Like Jay-Z's level of, no, that's a tough one. Okay. Here's what I'm agreeing with Yasin Bey. The
part that's different, you know, and this is not Yasin Bey's fault. It's more someone on Twitter, and if I find a tweet, I will share it. I will add it to the show notes. But showed a video of Yasin Bey, and it's an old school 90s video. You can tell by the image, the graphics. Yasin, DMX, Big Pun, and other legendary rappers are at the table, and they're having like a cypher, and they're rapping with each other. And someone put in the caption and said, "Yeah, Drake couldn't fuck you, couldn't hang with these one. He couldn't be with these people and stuff like that." Now, this is the part where I defend Drake. Drake is a Canadian artist, a Canadian rap artist. Drake has accomplished, as a Canadian rap artist, has accomplished something that someone in the Gen X category of hip-hop fans didn't think it was possible. He reached a level of success that we all dreamed about. In a sense, he was, in a way, accepted by Black American hip hop fans. Like, don't get me wrong. Cardinal Official has gotten that respect. Not Scarface. What's his name? Oh my God, I refuse to forget his name. Maestro Fresh West got it there, but oh my God, the fuck's his name? I'm thinking of a lot. Not Plato. Not Socrates. Jesus Christ. I love when I met myself last. Socrates, right. Socrates, they got the, like, they were on records with these New York rappers, and they got their respect, but they never made it. They were never successfully, commercially successful like Drake did it. All right? So, so the thing is, back in those days, rappers like Drake were considered outsiders. So it's not fair to try to put Drake on the same level of Yasin Bey, because Yasin's from Brooklyn, an established city area that's well respected, established respected area by hip hop. You know what I mean? Just saying I'm a rapper from Brooklyn is enough to be called. Saying, "Hey, I'm a Canadian rapper," like, get the fuck out of here. You know, it took a while before, like, Drake broke that glass ceiling, bro, kicked in the door, and we respect him for that. Now, so, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, oh, man. As much as I want to jump on this whole fuck Drake bandwagon, fuck that. As a Canadian hip-hop fan, I got to give him his props. Even though I hate the fact that he's not... He doesn't get into politics. I hate that. But that's his art. That's who he is. That's I get, you know, I can't. The same way I wouldn't want someone to bitch about how, yo, B, how come you don't cooting up on your podcast? It's the same way I'm not going to criticize Drake for not being what I want him to be. But I need both these guys to stay in their lane. Like, I you know, Drake hears this shit, say, yeah, cool, whatever. That's what I am. I make money. I'm that rapper who makes a shitload of money. Yeah, I rap about party and bullshit, bitches and hoes. Yeah, that's what I have. Maybe I no content, but it's working for me. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. Here's another thing I got to bring up, right? Negative shit like this is what gets attention on the internet. And I think there's like Rod on the Blackout Tips talks about that. The currency of attention getting out there. Like has there ever been a viral clip that's gone out of someone showing respect to someone else? Has that ever happened? Nah, it's always negative. It's always negative. Like I was joking with this one comedian about how, hey, do you want to show up on my podcast to talk shit about other comedians? So we could go viral. So you could go talk shit about other comedians the same way Cat Williams did. And we laughed and he said, yeah, but my problem is I don't have receipts like Cat Williams does. Cat Williams did. Well, my only point is how negativity sells on in this world, man. It's yeah, whatever, man. It's interesting Yasin Bey like did that. I don't disagree with his statement, but Was he just trying to help a friend promote their podcast, or was he just being sincere? I don't know what that was about. What do I know? I could just, all I can do is react off of it. But and I'm not angry that I did. All right, okay, let's go. All right, let's jump to the second piece of news. All right, so this one hits my tickle my fannies as a comedian, and it goes: Joy Coy performs first stand up set since bombing at the Globe and Gold, mocks soft celeb crowd. Can we fucking laugh at ourselves? All right, okay. I remember hearing about this story and not covering it, but the only reason I'm covering it is because of this part. First, let me start by saying that, in the last episode, I shared an article, a TikTok clip. I don't know if I mentioned it, but a TikTok clip of someone, an Asian American content creator, speaking about Joy Coy. She's not a fan of his because apparently he does a lot of mocking his own people type shit. And anyway, he dissed him for it. He goes, yeah, she's not surprised that he bombed at the Globe and Gloom. But that's not what I want to bring up. Two things I want to bring up. One is, I remember the first time I bombed in comedy, in a comedian, right? And it was one of the most life-changing moments in my life. Because after I bombed, I was so expected to get kicked while I was down. I was so expecting people to look at me like, after I bomb, bro, I was surrounded by the most supportive group of people, like the other comics, just white comics. Oh, this one's funny. It made it worse because I bombed in front of black folks. I take it even personally when I bomb in front of black people. Like, for me, it's like, fuck. Like, perform, what's that, suicide ritual in Japanese, harikari, whatever, man. That kind of, like I really don't like bombing for the black folks, but it happens, right? And so after I bombed, all these comedians came to me. Well, one of them they were all supportive. I remember one of them, he didn't have to say shit. It was just more like he was just looking at me as, yeah, man, that's it's real in this field, man. It happens. He was just like, there was no pity, but he was like, I could tell, like, he's been there, and you just treat it as something. I have this joke where I said, I wish bombing was explained to me the same way I wish being rejected by a woman was explained to me the same way bombing was explained to me by other comics. See, when you bomb, comics are supportive. If they're not supportive, they just treat it as, yo, it happens, man, it happens. But the one thing they don't do, unlike civilians, is joke about the fact that you bomb. Unless they don't like you, that's a different story, right? But it's like an accepted thing. It's like being a soldier. Yeah, you're gonna die on this battlefield. It happens. Right? You'll get some comics that say, yo, dust yourself off. Another comic came at me. He came to me. He was just giving me some pointers because he knew I was a new comic, and said, yeah, man, bro, that set went over people's heads, and that's why they weren't reaching it. But they were very fucking supportive, and it was beautiful. I'm laughing because the MC of the MC who's doing the MC who brought me on and brought me on, I realized that I lost the crowd because he was like, yeah, if you're looking for the crowd, go see that. I'm not mad that the MC took my bombing and used it as material, because it is what it is, because that's what happens, comic bombs. Getting back to my analogy of my time when first time I was ever rejected by a girl. And the fellas were fucking, everyone was like, you nigga, you ain't shit, nigga. Everyone's laughing at you like you fucked up. There was no support. There was no, this shit happens. It's like, ha ha, you idiot, you fell for the trap. Oh my God, okay. I realize why I'm trying to share this thing. So all this to say, I take no pleasure in Joy Coy bombing at the Golden Globes. Shay, the comedian Shay, has this great, he has this tweet, uh, no, this posts on Instagram where he explains, like, man, fuck the Golden Globe, fuck these award shows for using us comics like this. But if they want to hire me, I'll take the job. but no, he made a good point about the fact that, yeah, he was set up for failure. He was set, anyway, whatever. All I know is, getting back to my point, Joy Koy bombed, and I remember everyone speaking about it, right? And I was going to let it go because, you know, like I said, comment, that's what happened. It's an unfortunate that it had to happen at the Golden Globe, but this shit happens. So I am actually happy to read about an article about him bouncing back. That's the inspiring part about this article, him bouncing back. Now, the part I don't like, the part I disagree with, and the part, like, and I would say this to him if I knew him personally, is, but I guess it's a trend in comedy, is how he made this one joke and it caused a fallout basically about the Barbie movie. And I hate the fact that he responded with, yeah, motherfucker being a little too sensitive and shit like that. Yeah. I hate the fact that people, comics are using or blaming the audience when they fail at comedy, as opposed to adapting to the new times. Sure, maybe there are some, a few people with a stick up their ass who show up to comedy clubs and like, yeah, I don't want to laugh. I didn't come to, like, yeah, I get that it happens. But the, what's his name, Matt Rife of the world, these motherfuckers are trying to use this whole, yeah, I don't know, comedy sucks because this audience is not, this audience is being a little too sensitive. Fuck y'all, man. Fuck that, man. I hate that. And I say this as someone who's, who, again, didn't understand the concept of a joke and kept laughing at jokes that he never found funny, only because he didn't want to hurt the feelings. He either didn't want to hurt the feelings of the comic or didn't want to hear the bullshit about, oh, if you don't find it funny, you're being too sensitive or something's wrong with you. He just didn't want to hear that, so just kept it moving. I'm saying I have no respect for comedians who, comics who use this whole crowds, today's audience, you can't say shit anymore. I don't respect that. People who, comedians who intentionally offend their audience and then bitch about the fact that the audience is offended by their material. Fuck you. Fuck that, man. Yeah, I can't respect that. Now, Joy Koy, I think in his situation, because when I clicked on, in the link in the article, they talk about, he goes, Joy Koy was, his response was, the fallout to some of the shit that he says. Now, I didn't watch his set because way too many people retained how much it was bad. And I don't like cringe moments. But there's a joke he made about he made about the Barbie movie. And I can understand why it was. I mean, it's bad enough that he was doing bad. But he made a joke about the Barbie movie I felt was lazy. And personally, it's one of those things that's like, yo, just eat it, man. Just fuck it. People didn't like it, just keep it moving. But instead of keep it moving, he said, yeah, man, motherfucker just being too sensitive and shit like that. Yeah, man. It's, yeah, he made a joke about the Barbie movie that it's not that it was offensive, but it was more like, come on, bro. What, you want a charity laughter for that joke? Is that what you want me to pretend for me to find it funny so your ego can feel like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's a, the feedback is worth taken seriously as opposed to rejecting it, as opposed to treating it as, oh, you people are just being too sensitive as a joke. Like, because I understand his attempt to find humor in it, to find humor, like the premises of the joke. Like, I get that, but I also understand someone being like, nah, not only is it not funny, it's also a reflection of an ignorance that we are trying to, that's harmful to us. That's it. That's it, man. That's really what I'm saying. Yeah, that's it. You know what? Okay, this actually is a good segue for the next content item that I have. But yeah, so shout out for Joy Koy for bouncing back. But come on, man. Don't be blaming, to, you know, modern day comedy. Like, yeah, the feel has changed. I agree it has changed. But change is inevitable. And you could go with the flow or you could bitch about it. That's all I'm saying. All right. So which brings me to this next. I love this piece. Okay. Initially, I made the mistake of listening to the French version of this article, of this story, and being confused. Reading it in English, now I get it. And the title goes, Montreal Puppeteer. Puppeteer. Fuck you doing with a puppet. Okay. Montreal Puppeteer suing anti-racism group director after blackface controversy. The more I think about it, the more it makes sense that I'd be confused by this story when told to me in French. Now, okay, I'm going to keep it in the show notes, right? I'm going to keep the French version from Le Téléjournal, who initially reported who I initially got the story from. And they just put, hey, come on, spectacle en anglais. Spectacle, show. I'm just going to show, right? Is this show racist? Basically, with the exception of comment s'appelle comme Emily Nicolas, she's not a celebrity but she's an entity, she's a figure, she's a journalist in French media. With the exception of her, I don't trust anyone from that part of Canada to speak intelligently when it comes to racism. To have any insightful shit to say. Okay, I want to be clear. I said with the exception of Emily Nicolas. She speaks French and she speaks intelligently about race issues and shit like that. Like, in a way that I didn't think was possible. Because I'd given up on French people when it comes to race. She does it so well that I have this urge to write her a message to say how much I appreciate her work. And showing me things you could do with the French language that I didn't think was possible. Yes, I've stereotyped all French people to be blissfully ignorant when it comes to race issues, but that's another story. Anyway, so getting back to my point, I heard the story, the French version of the story, and it was a bullshit explanation of the story. So I went to, surprisingly, CBC. Damn, all my articles come from CBC. Is that true? No, that's not true. Anyway, and I got a better explanation. So it turns out, I'm not going to read the story. I'm going to try to explain it in my own words here. Apparently, there's this puppeteer named Frank Sylvestre. I'm going to assume. He vient de la Martinique. And he's got a puppet show, I believe, for children. And he's got a puppet, and it's a fucking ugly puppet. I mean, uglier than Uncle Ruckus. And according to him, this puppet is supposed to be a caricature of himself. Bro, if that's the case, I'm going to need you to explain that to me. But when you look at this puppet, it's a disgusting, ugly looking puppet with teeth all fucked up, big red lips, dark skin. And he went to his white friends and said, hey, can you draw me the most racist caricature of a black person that you can think of? And then add it to it. So I'm going to concede the fact that I haven't seen his show. I haven't heard his explanation. But that puppet does scare the fuck out of him. It's really ugly. It disgusts me. And homie is like, yo, this is supposed to be a caricature of me. Now, is this show for kids? If it is, then I could see the problem. So apparently what happened is homie created this show with this puppet called something the Black Beard. What's it called again? Blackface Puppeteer, Montreal launched a defamation law. Anyway, yeah, but... I forget the name of the show. Oh, L'Incroyable Secret de Barbe Noire. Don't know why I'm coughing. Oh, it's dry here. No wonder. The humidity sucks here. Anyway, yeah. So, according to this article, Frank Sylvestre, this puppeteer, is suing an anti-black group for being a pain in the ass for not allowing him to be great, for not allowing him to have his show. Apparently, they've been protesting his show. I don't protesting, but criticizing his show to the point where it got canceled all over the place. Now, the fact that homie is suing these people, this anti-racism group, as opposed to speaking to them and explaining his side, tells me he's already in the wrong. The fact that you're going to go to white people to get justice about... so far... without having seen this show on the surface, right now it kind of looks like a coon black guy is fighting for the right, is trying to get justice because these other black people aren't allowing him to coon. Now, I can understand if, because it's a thing for child, like I really need to understand where he's going with this, because I can tell you that there was a time growing up where I felt like I was a grotesque piece of humanity because of my skin. There was a time where I did feel like that. Like, if that's the point that he's trying to make, that this society made me feel this way, that's one thing. But if he's, like, just taking that and making jokes about it, yeah, no, I'm on the side of the anti-racism group. It's like you're trying to make a problem. And especially to an audience of French white people who are blissfully ignorant. Let me put it this way, man. French white people would love to see black people cooning. they grew up on that shit. Probably why Justin Trudeau has a face of black face. They all grew up on an awful caricature of black people, and fuck their humanity, man. It's like even in the comic strips that we would read, it was like very rampant. And if he's going out there going, yeah, I'm a dumb nigger, whatever, shit like that, then yeah, and it's not gonna, okay, I guess I need to get more details from him. But so far, the fact that he's suing a black anti-racist group because he said defamation, is it that they didn't take the time to understand his show or for misunderstanding him? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to be understood by people, suing sends a message, sends a different kind. Like, you want to force me into understanding. You know, it's, I should have written this thing down. Look, I'm just going to leave this story segment, and saying that the fact that she's suing these people is a bad look for me. You have the puppet, you have this lawsuit. It's already, this Frank Sylvester guy is already on my, I'm trying not to innocent until proven guilty, but right now, yeah, all I see is guilt, and especially when you have Le Téléjournal. Téléjournal, Le Journal de Montréal. Sorry, yeah, Le Téléjournal on your side, explaining your side of the story tells me that yeah, there's some fuck shit going on here. But thanks for entertaining white people with your lawsuit. I don't know. You know what? Maybe I should get more details about it. But I'm just concluding with, God damn, that puppet looks ugly. Like, it's on my screen right now, and it, you know, I wanted to ignore this story, but it kept showing up in my timeline, and then when I read the headline, I was so confused. I'm like, wait, the anti-racist people are being sued, or are they suing? Whatever, yeah. Initially, I thought the anti-racist group was suing him for being a coon, but it looks like no, he's suing them for not allowing him to do some coon shit. But yeah, welcome to French Canada, man. You know, I need to find the progressive black podcast in Quebec. I think I'm gonna make that a 2024. You know what? Okay, I'm not gonna say shit that I'm not gonna do. So, but it's something I should consider, because I would love to have this discussion. I want to need to get more details about this shit, and especially like what exact is there, is the possibility that Frank Sylvester knows something that I don't, that I'm missing something. Maybe is he really an artist being silenced, or is he just being an artist giving white people what they want to see, and he's angry that black folks aren't allowing him to do that. It is what it is. It is what it is. All right, okay. Okay, this next piece, I am not going to share it, but I am going to credit, what's the name of this content creator? I am going to credit the content creator on TikTok who forced me to bring this story to my attention or to look into it. there's a link in the other links portion in the show notes. And content creator's name is...
Okay, so this case that South Africa has filed in the ICJ does have the potential to change the world forever.
Oh, God damn.
It's like, to me, one of the most important moments in modern history. And we are living through it. So if you haven't watched the live stream, please go do it. If you haven't...
Okay, there we go. Oh, my God. Sorry, I was trying to hit pause button on this article, but I have to continue as guest. Okay. The content creator's name is Critical Grace Theory. Ah, very clever. And and she's talking about... I had to read about it. Okay, all this is based on the article that I read from the BBC. What is South Africa's genocide case against Israel at the ICJ? Okay, so apparently South Africa is making a case in this courtroom within the Nations Unies. Sorry, my brain is blanking. The UN, oh my God, United Nations. Okay, the International Court of Justice, ICJ, is being asked to consider whether Israel is committing genocide. So it's interesting. It's fascinating that South Africa is standing up for the people of Palestine. Or it's making a case that, yo, what Israel's doing to the Palestinian is fucking genocide. Two things. One, what I love about this story, it's how it's an example of using the future or using the present to right the wrongs of the past. You can't do shit about the past. It can't be changed. The best you can hope for is showing the world that you've learned from your mistakes, and now I the best way I could say it, like I got it from Kanye, he goes, right the wrongs of the past with the future. So I respect South Africa being the one to be at the forefront to be like, hey, what's going on over there is fucked up. We should know about apartheid. We designed that. We perfected that shit. And what's going on over there is some fucking apartheid genocide shit. Finally, someone speaking up for the Palestinians because, you know, they don't have the same budget as Israel has. Or they don't have the same people in office, the same type of politician. They don't have the same juice that Israel has. I should have a counter of how many times I've talked about the Palestinian conflict. So shout out to, I just respect the fact that South Africa is like on the forefront of this shit. And you know, it's kind of fucked up. It's interesting how South Africa and Germany have taken two different paths. South Africa is like, yo, we know what genocide looks like. We know what apartheid looks like. Y'all need to stop. They're like, yo, learn from our mistake. Yo, fucking even Biden. Not that I'm being Biden support, but even Biden, out of everything, the one thing Biden that I love that he did is told, like he was trying to, like, cooler hell prevails, trying to tell Israel, it's like, look, man, after 9-11, now we get it, you just had your 9-11, but we made a lot of fucking mistakes after 9-11. Israel was like, yeah, fuck off. Suck this dick. Drop these bombs. You know, I was talking to a friend about this and how I would not have this conversation if I had a friend who was Jewish and pro and on the side of the military, on the side of, I don't know how to say this. I was going to say the genocide, but basically on this whole Israel is just defending themselves. If I have a friend like that, and I mean friend, literally, I would not have this discussion with them. I guess we'd grow apart. But mainly because, based on what I could tell about Israel, they're too far gone. Like, they're on a war path. They're in, when you're in war mode, you don't have the time to think, oh, let me consider the feelings of my enemy. No. They are already in, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys, we're at war. What are you trying to do? We're trying to win. If we got to bomb hospitals to make it happen and lie about the fact that we bombed those hospitals, that's what we're going to do. Like, they're in that mode. And you can't tell shit to a person who's in that mode. If I was in that mode, yeah. If it was me in that mode, yeah. There ain't shit you could tell me. I ain't trying to hear shit about peace talk. Let's talk about peace after we win. Yeah, so if I had a friend like that, And that's what I meant when I was trying. This is what I was trying to say in a previous episode about how there ain't. I can't find a second. I can't find a common ground. I can't find. Yeah, I guess it's my way of saying I know what I'm saying sounds anti-Israel or being anti. And like to them, it sounds like I'm being antagonistic against them. But the truth is, I'm looking at the human factor. I'm just strictly looking at the human factor. I'm looking at the genocide. I'm looking at the dead kids. And I'm looking at a situation that was created that didn't start on October 7th. It started a long time ago. It's an unfair situation. It's a fucked up situation, bottom line. Anyways, get back to what I was saying. It's interesting how Israel, South Africa and Germany are handling the situation. South Africa is like, yo, we know a lot about apartheid. Don't go down that road. What's that line? Hove went through that, so you don't have to go through that shit. And Germany is like, yo, whatever the fuck you want. Yo, we're sorry, Israel. We're sorry we fucked with you. Whatever the fuck you want us to do, that's what we'll do. An eye for an eye. We in this to get as the sun goes by. Yo, as the sun goes down, an eye for an eye. We in this together, son. Your beef is mine. What's that, Israel? Palestinians are fucking with you, then they fucking with us too. Anyways, it's interesting the state of the world, where we're at the situation, and to me why this is so important. To me why this is such important is because I grew up in the 80s. And I grew up hearing a lot of shitty things about apartheid. And honestly, I've never known any South African. I grew up never knowing any South African. Trevor Noah didn't exist. The Trevor Noahs of the world. Or I'm trying to think of a likable South African right now. Not Elon Musk. Now, they're all Elon Musk to me. But I grew up only hearing some of the most shittiest, racist shit to happen to a black person come out from South Africa. Anytime they were talking about South Africa, it was usually racist shit. So my impression of the country as a whole was already like tarred. Like I didn't see human beings. I just saw like the worst kind of white people came from South Africa. Not just the worst kind. The worst kind of racist white people came from South Africa. So hearing this shit about them standing up for the Palestinians, it's not that it's changing my opinion, but it feels good. It feels it's my reminder that we're all human beings. Every time, sure, there's a group of us that ain't shit. I'm gonna laugh is because I won't be surprised if there's an empathetic human being with a Confederate flag on their wall. To other white people, to their friends, they're very, like, their problem is, give them time, they'll realize that, oh, okay, that Confed flag is kind of fucked up. Because there was a time where there was a certain category, like, there was a time where I was not a friendly person when it came to, let's say, the LGBTQ community. Not that I was evil, not that I went out to be evil, not that I, you know, committed hate crimes, but I was ignorant to their cause, and any attempts on their part to claim their humanity, I would dismiss it as, I don't know, I would just dismiss it. I wasn't trying to hear what my, we are the world, we are the children, like I didn't see, you know, they weren't part of the world. They were just like, hey, you're being problematic. Like, I understand being on the wrong side of history. That's what I'm trying to say. Because I've been there. I've had my moments on being on the wrong side of history when it comes to other human beings. Anyway. But you know what's fucked up with South Africa is like tapping you on the shoulder and being like, bro, you're going down a path that you don't want to go, that we've gone down to, and I can tell you it's not worth it. By the way, I'm going to take the time to be fuck Elon Musk, because Elon Musk is apparently criticizing South Africa for their attempts to stand up for I don't know the man personally. I think I'm realizing that all these celebrities that I talk shit about, I'm attacking their reputation. I'm attacking the image that they're presenting. I don't know who they are personally. For all I know, it's just like everything they do is just a show. I don't know what's sincere, what's not sincere, but here we are. All right, okay, that's it, man. What time is it? Yeah, I forget that the shit I got to do today. Okay, all right, this concludes, did I have anything else? Yeah, no, this concludes Use It Random Thoughts. Like always, the links to all these articles that I covered will be in the show notes. All right? Okay, then. All right, so let's jump to final thoughts, and then you kids get to go home. All right? Okay, let's go. Well, I mean, I get to go home. All right. Okay, bad joke. All right. Yeah. Okay, all right, final thoughts. Now, like I warned you at the beginning, spoiler alert for Succession Season 4. For those of you who don't know, I'm rewatching Succession and watching it this time around. Shit is making more sense. The writing, the content, everything is like hitting me more like rock cocaine. Like as if I know. Anyways, so before I explain today's what's up with today's title, I'm gonna play a clip from Season 4, Episode 2 of Succession. Again, spoiler alert. I can understand if you wanna click off, this would be the time for you to do so. I don't wanna hear shit from you later on. And I, yeah, and it's a quote. It's the scene with Connor Roy talking about love. You're needy. Okay, well, the title is "You're Needy Love Sponges," and it's a very powerful take. It's so powerful because I had another moment where I thought, up until that point, I had a moment where I don't know what I'm going to record if I'm going to do another episode, and then I saw this, and I'm like, okay, yes, this is going to be my final thoughts. Yeah, I don't like having an episode if I don't have a final thought. So here we go. All right, so let's play this. Here we go.
The good thing about having a family that doesn't love you is you learn to live without it.
What? Connor, that's not...
You're all chasing after Dad saying, oh, love me, please love me. I need love. I need attention.
Well, I think that's the opposite of what just happened.
You're needy love sponges. And I'm a plant that grows on rocks and lives off insects that die inside of me.
Jesus Christ, come on.
If Willa doesn't come back, that's fine. Because I don't need love. It's like a superpower.
It's like a superpower.
And if she comes back and doesn't love me, that's okay too. Because I don't need it. Thanks for the party.
You're welcome.
I'm only pretending. Like, I'm not fighting the urge to cry after hearing him say that. He had some sad shit to say, but it was honest. Sometimes I wish we could live in a world where human beings could have these moments of honesty instead of, like, this is what I mean when I say on this podcast that this is my unpolished self. This is my attempt to have these honest moments instead of lying to you about what I'm not. And let me back up. When you're watching Succession, at some point you're going to start to realize that one of the characters hits you. You either connect with the characters or you feel that character the most. Like you, it's interesting. Succession is, everyone in there is a bunch of shitty people. If you knew them personally, I don't know, maybe you Wall Street types might be like, would like them, whatever. But in real life, these are not likable people, at least in my opinion. In my personal opinion, these are not likable opinions. I'd be constantly on my guard of, what do you want? But this show puts you in a situation where you're empathizing with these characters. And like I said, at some point, one of these characters will hit you the hardest. And rewatching it the second time around, I'm realizing that Connor Roy is the character that, behind the comedy, behind all the bullshit, yo, man, I feel that. Yo, I feel that guy, man. I. Especially this clip. When I saw this clip about, coming from a family, when he says, sorry, not to say that I relate, I'm saying him not understanding love, him not being or telling himself that I don't need love and that's my superpower, that's the part I could connect with. There's a scene where his girlfriend is a sex worker and he's okay with it, man. He's aware of the fact that, yo, this shit is fake. I know this is fake, but it's good enough for me. Mary J. Blige has a song, Real Love. I'm searching for that real love. I won't lie to you. When she sings that song, I have no idea what the fuck she's talking about. I grew up believing, singing with everyone, saying, yes, I want that real love too. Being oblivious of the fact that I had no idea what the fuck I was talking about. Another favorite song that another favorite song out there is by India Re, and she goes, I'm Ready for Love. And to me, that's got to be the most mature song about love I've possibly have heard in my life. Or if it's not heard or understood, that was a powerful song. She's, okay, unlike Mary J. Blige, I feel like I take India Re's Ready for Love song more seriously. India Re's more serious than Mary J. Blige. I think where I'm at in my life right now is I understand Connor Roy's character, especially when he says that grew up in a family that didn't love me. It put me in a situation where I don't need love. I understand what he means by that. Or at least I feel like I understand what he means by that and relate to it. Like, the best I can think about is I remember my first relationship. Not first relationship. A relationship that I was in, and it was so fucked up that I ended up going into therapy for it, right? It ended, you know, we broke up. The relationship ended, and I remember feeling like I don't get it. I thought I did everything right. I thought I was everything I was supposed to do. And going to therapy and realizing that, nah, man, that shit wasn't love. You were looking for someone to validate you. Like, how the fuck was I supposed to know that? In my mind, I'm like doing everything the adults, life, the music, the movies told me to do is find my one and only. And I find this one person, and it turns out to be, I ended up in a dysfunctional relationship. Like, how the fuck was I supposed to, okay. I had no idea that I had put myself in a dysfunctional relationship. I had no idea that I had a lot to learn when it comes to love. Reminds me when I bought the book, Dating for Dummies. And I was confused at the fact that the first chapter focused on getting to know yourself. I'm like, what the fuck's that about? What a waste of time. What a waste of a chapter. How do I pick up these bitches? How do I know she's down? How do I know she's down the fuck? You know, like, that's what I was looking for. I had no idea I was going into this thing blind, not knowing what I was doing. And I'm not the only one. Imagine being taught love by people who didn't understand it themselves. Worse, by people who not only didn't understand it themselves, but are convinced that they know everything you need to know, they need to know about it. It's as bad as learning about God from people who have the opposite trait of God. Like, people who shouldn't be teaching you about God. What's up with today's title? Because she don't live here. I connected it to Scarface and Nas, DJ Khaled, whatever. But I'm more focused on Scarface and Nas for their lyrics, right? Their track, Hip Hop. and they talk about hip hop as the cruel mistress that she is. First, it starts out that, like, they took from Common's rap song "I Used to Love Her." They probably started out as, "Yo, we love hip hop," and now they're like, "Nah, man, she's a cruel mistress." They don't hate it, but they're acknowledging that they have a complicated relationship with this art form called hip hop. And that's what that's what I'm realizing hearing Conor Roy being this moment of honesty by Conor Roy made me realize that I actually don't understand love, this whole concept of love. I'm not saying I don't need it, but I am saying that I don't get it. What exactly am I searching? What am I? Yeah, I don't. Bottom, I just don't get it. I wrote some bullet points because, you know, I don't write these. You know, I wrote a few bullet points that I'm going to read that crossed my mind when it comes to my confusion on this concept of love. Sorry, I'm thinking of, is it Journey? I'm going to know what love is. I want you to show me. But what if the person you're asking to do that doesn't understand it themselves? What if that person loves the world more than they love their own selves? Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay. Here's the points that I wrote down. I said, I don't understand love. All I know about it, it's some form, it's an attachment. It's a feeling of attachment. What's the point of calling it love? I had a conversation with my dad where I was trying to explain. I said, I don't think he understood it, but I was trying to say, it's like, why do we hurt those we love? Like, it's to a point where I'm like, what's the fucking point of using that word if we're just going to hurt each other the same way people who don't love us would hurt us? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the point of saying you're my loved ones when like it's the people who are more likely to hurt you is less the strangers, it's the people within your circle. It's fucked up how the statistic about how of domestic violence of women, like a woman is more likely to be killed by a man who's in her life than a man who's outside her life. A man that she opened the door, let in her life, gave her heart to, then, like, it really makes me question, I guess, the dark side of love. I'm thinking of a rose and the prickly part of the rose. Like, I feel like, and not to make this at the risk of making this a sad tale, but it is what it is. I'm going to try to speak a truth, put it out there, and it's not meant to poor me or life sucks. It's not meant to be a depression. It's really more, I got to talk about it. Like, I can't get this car to start. I need to point what's not working as a point to how it should be behaving. And what I'm saying is, I feel like I've been exposed to the dark side of love, to the part of love that's been so ugly that made me be like, yeah, I don't want it. I don't think I want it. I love that Khan called it a superpower. Because, yes, it's true. Again, that's what therapy's for. Because you have these kind of discussions and figure that out. But, yeah. What's the point of calling it love? What's the point of it having that word? You know one thing I hate is telling someone I love them. I remember being in a relationship where the girl had that expectation. And I'm like, isn't it kind of early for us to be using the L word? And the other thing, too, is for me is the only people who feel the need to go out of their way and say, I love you, is people who have intention to do you harm, who either have intention to do you harm or who have done you harm. Do you know what I mean? I just didn't get it. I feel like there's a part of this world that I've missed out on, and maybe it's the good side of love. Like, I hate people who say shit like, I love you, bro, but I'm about to say or do something shitty to you. Then fuck it, don't call it love, then just do your thing, then fuck, leave love out of it. I hate when that word is used in vain. It's just a way for you to get other people to put their guards down. I say this out of love. Oh, the worst is tough love. I do this out of love. That's bullshit, man. You ain't no better than fucking Daedalus or Thanos or any other villain that's out there. I'm thinking of situations where maybe it's possible that maybe you were loved. Shit, The Common has a song about it. I'm gonna have to make a reply about it. Maybe you were loved, but you never felt it. What does that mean? What happens there? I'm thinking about, like I said, I grew up in a household where we didn't use the, you know, we didn't say shit like, I love you. We didn't do that. I remember my younger cousin said, when she started doing that, it freaked the whole family out. Well, that's not true. It freaked me out. I was like, what the hell's wrong with this kid? It did feel good hearing it, but I'm like, what does that mean? Can I crash at your place at 3 a.m.? What exactly do you mean when you say those three words? Is it just, you know, is it just for me to feel good about myself? Like, I don't get it. That really, the bottom line to this final thought is, I don't understand love. And it's one of those things that I feel maybe that's my journey to figure it out what it means. But right now, love just feels like, shout out to, I didn't like the show Mad Men, but I did love that quote of that one line. I think his character's name is Don Draper. He goes, love is just a word we created to sell fucking bras or to sell you shit. And by us, he means like a bunch of advertisers. When you love, here, I'm going for my bullet points. What up? Love is usually that one word, I already covered that. That one word that comes after or before they're about to do something shitty to you. I'm thinking of, I also don't understand that. As much as I love the song by KRS-One, Love's Gonna Get You, I'm not sure what he means by that, that material love. It's not that I don't understand it. I'm just confused by the usage of the term love. Love's Gonna Get You. I mean, I look at love for money. Okay. You know what? I think what it is maybe growing up in this capitalistic society, I've been too exposed to the love for things. I understand the love for things more than I understand the love for people. So yeah, man, I'm not trying to get deeper than it needs to be. Something else I put in the show notes in the succession goes the tragic case of Conor Roy. And it's beautiful, man. It's just, it's tragic. Yeah. Everyone in the succession, it's tragedy. It's a tragic case of humanity. But, and that's what makes the show so like amazing, or great, enjoyable for me. But yeah, going back to my case, but I hear you, man, Conor. I understand what he means. The way he grew up in his life, it's as sad as it is that he grew up with a father, you know, successful father who was rich and never made time for him. And his one parental figure was his mother. And at some point she loses his mind. She goes crazy. And so his father leaves her and has another wife. Has three kids with them, so he's got half siblings, and it's wild how they treat him unintentionally treat him like an outsider, but he's gotten so used to it that he could look and also how he's so passive, how he's just look, man, I'm whatever you guys want to do, that's what I'll do. I can relate to that shit. I think I go through life feeling like I wasn't meant to take space, like I'm just an observer. I'm just a guy with the photo with the camera. Writing things down and sharing it with other people. I feel like I'm an observer in this world. But I understand, yeah, when they wrote that character, they wrote a character that I could connect with. But yeah, I'm just going to say, yeah, anyway, shout out to the writers and Conor Roy for making me understand or think about an aspect of my life that me and this character could understand with. Man, I want to be clear. I'm not saying I understand what it's like to be Conor Roy, but I understand, but I can connect to that part of him that's like, not needing love in my life is my superpower. I don't know if that's true or not, whether he needs it, whether he's lying about the fact that he doesn't need love, but I can understand living your life like you don't need it. And that's the thing about therapy is that you end up learning. Like, if I am bullshitting myself about the fact that not needing love, then you figure that out in therapy. Now, you have all these problematic behaviors that at some point that have a reason for them to be. If I go through life like I don't need love, and if it's a problem, if it's a toxic trait, then I'll figure it out. But as it stands, it just makes sense to me to go through life, to me myself, go through life feeling like love is just bullshit. Fuck. I'm thinking of Talon Macy's. He's got a poem. He goes, if I ever wrote a love poem, oh my God. It's one of my favorite ones. And I would love to have a conversation. Love. Hey, here we go. Just used it right now. Fuck. Have a conversation about what he was thinking when he wrote that piece, because I feel like, dude, you just wrote the soundtrack of my life. And the chorus goes, if I ever wrote a love poem, it would be in vain. Love is a mystery, and sex only numbs the pain. Sometimes I get so lonely, I don't know how I maintain. If it wasn't for the money, I would just go insane. Yeah, man. Anyways, yeah, I would love to have a conversation with him about that that piece, because I don't get it. Yeah, love is just, you know, holy shit, that should have been the title of this episode, but nah, fuck that. I went with that verse from Scarface, which I'm going to recite one more time before I conclude today's episode. And it goes, and that's the other thing too, the reason why it goes, I'm doing drugs trying to feel you. I remember the first time I discovered MDMA and how it was forcing my brain to put in the same chemical, to put in my bloodstream the same chemicals that you would feel when you fall in love. And I remember being in that moment being like, it was, I think the word is anticlimactic. It's like, wait, what the fuck? I can trigger love with a pill? Then what the fuck is the point? Then there is no one and only. That chick doesn't exist. If there is a one and only, it's in a pill form. Anyways, I'm reciting this piece, and then I'm logging off, and then I'm ending this episode. It goes, I'm doing drugs trying to feel you. I'm killing me trying to kill you. I built my whole life around you. I thought I found it all when I found her. Talking about hip hop. Shopping sprees on whatever coast. How do you really feel? I may never know. And as I ride through the streets with my hand on my heat, eyes red from the sweets, I realize some things never change. Once in love and it's gone, you don't look at it the same, man. Fuck love, cause she don't live here. I'm soaked in blood, but I'm still here. Fuck love, cause she don't live here. I'm soaked in blood, but I'm still here. I think the only point by reciting those last two verses was just me trying to say that I reject this concept of love. Only because I don't get it. I don't understand it. Now, I was thinking about this yesterday when I was high. How this is the kind of shit that I can't have. I wouldn't be able to have a conversation with my folks with, because they would take it personally. They would make it about themselves. They would be, instead of looking at the big picture, what I'm trying to say, they would look at it as, are you saying we rejected you? Are you saying we didn't love you? Are you saying we failed you at... Like, it'd be more about that than it would be about, look, this is where I'm at. I'm a broken human being, and part of what makes me broken is my inability to understand love. Now, I am not playing the blame game. I'm just saying this is where I'm fucking at. How about giving me a high five for acknowledging, for recognizing it? Not, you know, it's like, it's not meant to be like what you did. Look, one of the generational curses that I'm trying to break is, I think all of us, including my family, and I blame slavery in this, never really, if they did understand love, it was like just a piece of it, not the whole, like the concept of self-love was bullshit in my family. like loving yourself first more than anyone else. No, excuse me. Loving yourself first than others. Like, there is no concept of self-love except for the narcissist. The narcissist family members, that for them, it was easy to apply. But the rest of us were like living in service, being like someone else's puppet, someone else's toy, someone else's true toy, and using love as the way to like manipulate them. But all this to say that, look, I don't think there's such a thing as a perfect family. Part of what made my family imperfect is I honestly don't think we fully understood love, or at least enough to explain it, to pass it on to the next generation. Again, yeah, I'm going to say this even though it's going to be ignored. My intention is not to shame my family, my upbringing. I'm just saying this is where I'm at. And I'm kind of glad I never had kids so I wouldn't repeat the mistakes to them. But if I did, it's one of those things that I would need to figure out, like up there with not using violence to discipline your child. It's one of those things that I would need to figure out before I could allow myself to bring another human being in this world. Or get into a serious relationship. It's just one of the things I need to figure out before that can happen. What time is it? All right, okay. Well, with that said, this concludes today's episode. I'm going to ask you to, pray, wish me luck for this job interview that I need to figure out. But with that said, if you want to holler at me, like always, my Twitter handle is @BBlizzak or Shut Up Podcast. On TikTok, it's @B.Black. On Instagram and Threads, it's @ShutUpPodcast. But the real location, my real home, my real communication spot, my real, not offspring, what's that word? Oh my God. Not outbreak. Fuck. I'm looking for a word to just outpost on the internet. It's called shutuppodcast.com. What's that? Shutuppodcast.com. One more time, homeboy, because I wasn't paying attention. Shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website. Or go to Google, Apple, Amazon, or anywhere else you can find a podcast except TikTok. Thank you for listening, as always, and please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right?
I am your king now!